The Bible says that God never sleeps or never slumbers, so there is no point both of us staying awake. And so I am making a decision. If you see the devil, tell him I'm going to bed. And so it is just me putting a stake in the ground, going, no, 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 I'm not going to stay up. I'm not going to let anxiety or worry have its way in my life, because God has promised if I bring this thing to him, his peace that surpasses all understanding is going to guard my heart. Do you sometimes feel like nothing significant is happening in your life? Like you're just stuck? Well, then it's time to change things up. Because you were never meant to live a life in park. You were meant to move forward. And today, I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. I'm Christine Kane, and I have a personal mission to equip and empower people like you to connect with your God-given purpose and potential. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Get ready, because this message is for you. Excited that you've joined us today. I am so thrilled about this series, and you're not on the other side of the screen by accident today. I know that God has orchestrated this moment for you to tune in, even that one of you that your clicker is just stuck now. You're trying to change the station and you can't, but that's because God has orchestrated this moment, because he's got a word for you. He loves you so much and has got such an incredible plan, purpose and destiny for your life. And I love this series. We're talking about having the kind of faith where we go again. We keep going back to God, believing God. And we're looking at our text in 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible tells us in verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink. I love God. He's so practical. He loves food, eating and drinking. I'm Greek, so I really resonate with this. I always believe it's the will of God in Christ Jesus that we eat, drink, and all the time. For there is the sound, a sound of the rushing rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again, seven times. And at the seventh time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, I love that. There's always a little while, but God shows up. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garments and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What a story. I'm telling you, this book is full of life and hope. And we learned so far in this series that what we have to do is, if we want to see the promise of God activated in our life, we have to declare and decree the word of God. And there are so many promises in God's word, and they're just out of reach. And how you activate them is through the confession of the word of God. And there are things, remembering, let's not take this to some unbiblical extreme where we think I can just say it and have it. This is not blab it and grab it. You can't have whatever you want, but we can have what God says. And so I want my confession to come into alignment with the truth of the word of God and speak life and hope and freedom and liberty. So not only do we learn that confession is important to activating the miracle of God, if you and I want to see God move in our life, then prayer precedes the miracles. We see this in verse 42. And I have to put my glasses on because I can't see verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth, put his face between his knees. And you go, how do you know then that he's praying? That's an unusual posture. I'm not really going to do that posture. I will give you a glimpse of it. I don't want to get down and then put my head between my legs. It might look awkward on camera right now, so we won't do that. But he put his head between his knees, and we know that he prayed, because the Bible tells us in James 5, verse 17 and 18, that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again. And heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So we know that he was a praying man. We know that he prayed for the rain to stop in 1 Kings 17, and then we know that he prayed for the rain to start again. So prayer precedes miracles, not just confession, but prayer. It is a presumptuous person that doesn't think we need to pray. To me, isn't it awesome that the God of the universe has afforded us the privilege of talking to him? You might be watching on the other side of this screen and you didn't even realize that you could talk to God. You go, Chris, what is prayer? That's what prayer is, that you have access to the God of the universe, the God that spoke this world into being. That God is so interested in you and in me that he wants to incline his ear to our prayer. I think one of the most underutilized resources and one of the most underutilized weapons of our warfare as believers is that of prayer. Prayer for far too many people is kind of an afterthought. Like, oh, I've exhausted every option. I guess we have to pray. Anyone ever been in those kind of thing? Like, I guess we have to pray. I want prayer, especially in our ministry, not to be an afterthought, but to be the thing that prepares the way for us. It's the first thing that we do, not the last thing that we do. That the first thing that we do is we go to God and we pray. So we saw that Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 17 for the drought to start, and then he offered that simple prayer for the widow's son at Zarephath to come back to life. Then he prayed that bold prayer. Do you remember on Mount Carmel where all the prophets of Baal were defeated? I mean, he prayed everywhere. He prayed right here again. He's on Mount Carmel. Now, this is interesting to me that he is here in a very, very humble posture and that he needs a miracle because they've been in famine for 3.5 years. There is not a sign of rain in the sky. And what does Elijah do? He prays. Prayer has undergirded his entire ministry. Prayer has undergirded his whole life. I wonder if you're a praying Christian. I wonder if you're a praying person. I wonder if you really believe that prayer changes things. I wonder if you really believe that prayer can activate the miracles of God. Never underestimate the power of prayer. God can do unexpected things when we pray. God can move mountains when we pray. God can heal diseases when we pray. God can save souls when we pray. God can make a way where there is no way. God restores and God reconciles. Things happen when we pray. When we pray, God is moved. And when God moves mountains. The power of prayer is crucial in our lives. Crucial in our lives. And so the fact is that rain was coming, but how do you stay in that place? We're talking about how do you survive the time in between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise? Well, you've got to keep declaring and decreeing the word of God. That's what Elijah did. He said it before he ever saw it. And then he continued to pray. I wonder if you've given up praying for something. I wonder if somewhere along the line you went, you know what? Prayer doesn't work. So you've stopped praying. I have some things that I have been praying for years. And there is nothing more powerful than seeing God move and God answer a prayer that you have been laboring over for time and time and time and time again. I want to get your faith stirred up today. I want to inspire you to get back into your prayer closet and to start believing God. You know, a lot of people, they think that prayer doesn't achieve anything. They think we're talking to our imaginary friend. They're like, really? I'm glad you're talking to yourself, Christine. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the God of the universe. So many, too many treat prayer as a last resort rather than a first priority. You know, the enemy's power starts failing when we start praying. The enemy doesn't want you to pray because he knows when you pray, the force of heaven comes on your side and pushes back darkness. Sometimes we forget that we're in a spiritual warfare, but scripture teaches us we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities. We are in a spiritual war. There is an enemy of our soul and he hates our guts. And how you defeat him is through overcoming prayer and you see God go to war on your behalf. And so we need to never underestimate the power of prayer. The prophets certainly did not ever underestimate it. You know, at A21, so a lot of people say to me, Christine, how do you see so many breakthroughs? And, you know, we help to rescue the victims of human trafficking at A21. And we have offices in the Ukraine and in England and in Greece and in Bulgaria, South Africa and in Thailand and in Spain and in Australia and in North America. And I've left out some countries, but there is 14 offices in 12 countries of the world. And, you know, when you're going into the pit of hell to rescue people out of the bondage of sex trafficking. We have children in our care as young as 18 months old. Wow. 5, 6 and 7 year olds with utter depravity, utter evil, utter darkness. And I'm telling you, there are strongholds and bondages. You don't want to go in there without the backing of prayer. And people say, how do you see so many people rescued? How do you see so many trafficking rings busted open? How do you see so many traffickers in jail? I'm telling you, because we are a praying people. Because it's not about our strength or our legal capacity. We know that we're going into the pit of hell to pull people out. And you can only do that through the power of prayer. Prayer not only undergirds our ministry, prayer surrounds our ministry, prayer is up over our ministry. Everything that we do is basked in, birthed in, grounded in, surrounded by prayer. Prayer changes things. Don't underestimate the power of this gift that God gives us, which is access to Him. I grew up in a religious culture where I didn't know I had access to God through prayer. I thought I had to go through the priest. And I thought, God's too busy running the universe to want to listen to me. But then I learned that the veil had been torn, that I could go into the Holy of Holies, that the God of the universe, who spoke this world into being, wanted to have intimate relationship with me through prayer. That's like beyond comprehension. Some of us, we get excited if a celebrity makes a comment on our Twitter feed or on our Instagram. God Himself, through His Word, has given us an invitation into the Holy of Holies through His Word. You tell me one celebrity that can beat God, one sports star. God says, you matter so much to me. You have access into my Holy of Holies. How would you be? You just think on your social media feed, if someone that you really admire answered, you'd be, oh, wow. Why don't you ask God if you can have that feeling for God? Why don't you ask if you could have that feeling for God? Because that's what I pray. God, help me be more pumped about the fact that you've invited me into your presence through your word than I would be pumped if someone I really, really admired actually commented on my social media. That would take us to another level. If we truly understood the power of God to invite us into His Holy of Holies, prayer is the portal that brings heaven down to earth. There are so many circumstances where I have just been utterly at the end of myself. And right at the end of myself is where I found God, that He's never left me, He's never forsaken me. And that's why I love this text. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything, God cares. God is interested. He's interested in what interests you. God cares. We're to cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. Maybe you've never believed that, but He does. And the Bible says, ask Him anything. He hears whatever we pray. You go, but Christine, there's global war and famine and injustice. Does God care about the desires of my heart? Yes, He does. That's what makes Him God. God actually cares. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Scripture exhorts us to pray. Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Blows my mind. The God of the universe would listen to us. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Faith-filled praying. Philippians 4:6, which I think is so pertinent for the day in which we live. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, you present your requests to God. in a day that is full of anxiety, full of depression, full of worry and terror. We have to get very good. I think a very big aspect of our testimony in the days in which we live is that we are going to be able to hold our peace because we truly trust God, because we go to God in prayer. And I say things out loud to God. And if I've got a concern, something in my family, something in my personal life, something with the ministry, I'll say, God, I am now making a decision. I literally talk like this out loud to God. I'm making a decision that I'm not going to be anxious about this staff situation anymore. But Father, I've made my request known to you. I brought it before you. I lay it at your feet and I trust that you're working for it. So I'm going to be anxious for nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, God, I've made my request known to you. And now, Father, I receive the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And that's how I walk. People often go, how do you do what you do in sex trafficking? How do you run so much staff? How do you run such a large global organization? How do you do it, Christine, without freaking out? It's because of this prayer. Because I constantly go, God, I'm making a choice to be anxious for nothing. I'm making my request known to you. I'm not being irresponsible. I'm giving it to God. And you know, sometimes I'll say to Nick, even as we're going to bed, if I've got something particularly big on my mind, I go, you know what? I'm making a decision. I'm praying about this now. And then the Bible says that God never sleeps or never slumbers, so there is no point both of us staying awake. And so I am making a decision. If you see the devil, tell him I'm going to bed. And so it is just me putting a stake in the ground, going, no, 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 I'm not going to stay up. I'm not going to let anxiety or worry have its way in my life, because God has promised if I bring this thing to him, yes, his peace that surpasses all understanding is going to guard my heart. And someone watching this right now, you need to know the peace of God. And so I want you to pour out your heart to God. You don't have to hold anything back, honey. He knows it all anyway. And he still loves you. And he still died on a cross for you and rose again from the dead. There is nothing that you've done that is too big to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. There's no pit that you have fallen into that is too deep that God cannot lift you out of. You have not run so far from the grace or the love or the mercy of God. He is there for you right now. You can pour your life and pour your heart out to him. He hears you. He sees you. He knows you. You are called. You are valued. You are chosen. And then I know that as you lay these anxieties, you're anxious. Anxious about your children. You're anxious about your finances. You're anxious about your health. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. And I'm believing in the name of Jesus that the peace of God, literally, that surpasses all understanding. It won't make sense. It's going to guard your heart in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would sense that peace right now, right where you're sitting, in Jesus' name. You know, that can be the promise for all of us. In a world full of conflict and anxiety, you and I have to know how to walk in the peace of God. It's going to be a great testimony to people around us at work, at school, at college. You don't have to stand on a corner and preach Jesus at people. You can walk in the peace of Jesus and they'll be, what is that that is on you? Yeah. And you go, oh, that's the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. That's Jesus living in me. In a world that's freaking out, there's going to be another hurricane. What about, you know, what's happening at the stock market? What about what's happening politically or morally? If you can just go, yeah, I know there's a lot of tension in the world. I know there's a lot of chaos in the world. But here's the deal. Just because everyone around you is going cray-cray, you don't have to. There's something for you. You and I can walk in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Okay, the fact of the matter is that Elijah not only prayed for a miracle, which we want to be people of prayer that pray for miracles, but he also expected to see something. And so there's one thing about praying, but there's something else about praying with expectation. Expectation truly is the breeding ground for miracles. Now, when I go into the throne room, I believe for God to move. And that's exactly what Elijah did. So I've got Elijah's assistant, who for now is Michelle. So why don't you give a hand for Elijah's assistant over here. So the Bible says that Elijah, that he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And now for the sake of my dignity and the camera, we're going to improvise this part right here. Okay, so I'm on the seat and the Bible says that he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. Okay, so this is it. So he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea.
There's nothing.
Go again.
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 There's a cloud the size of a man's hand.
So, he went 7 times. There's nothing. There's nothing. But the prophet didn't just sit. He kept praying and kept sending him out with expectation. See, a lot of us, we go once, we go twice, maybe we go 3 times. But we don't keep going until we see a glimpse of the promise. And the fact is, if you and I are going to grasp the promises of God, we've got to get good at going again. Not just stopping because we don't see the cloud 1 time, or we don't see the cloud 2 times, or 3 times, or 4 times, or 5 times, or 6 times, or 7 times. We have to become tenacious Christians. We have to become fervent Christians, Christians that will choose to say, I'm going to go again. Maybe my kid's not off drugs yet, but I'm going to prayer again. Maybe that marriage isn't restored yet, but I'm going to prayer again. Maybe that destiny hasn't come to pass yet, but I'm going to go again. Maybe that healing hasn't come to pass yet, but I'm going to pray again. I'm not stopping here. I'm going to go again and 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 again until I see the breakthrough, because he had an earnest expectation. People would have laughed at him. And many of us, we pull back because people laugh at us. Oh yeah, where's your God now? It didn't really work now. Can you imagine how people would have mocked or ridiculed or scorned him? There was not a cloud in the sky 7 times. And then the Bible says there was a cloud that was as small as a man's fist. Isn't perspective interesting? It seemed small when you actually saw the size of the sky. But when you had had nothing for 3.5 years, that would have been a big sign. And in the next part of the series, we are going to talk about how small things are really big things if you've got the right perspective. We're going to go again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.